It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. History in the House.
The House will be in order.
That is our top story this Wednesday, an historic day. The U.S. House set to vote on two articles of impeachment against the President of the United States. By the end of today, Donald Trump will become just the third president in U.S. history to be impeached.
This is a sad day. I didn't run for Congress to impeach a president.
We've really watched people that are filled with so much hate they can't see straight.
The two articles of impeachment expected to pass along party lines and will follow 6 hours of debate on the House floor. Correspondent Bill Rakoff is on Capitol Hill.
For just the third time in U.S. history, lawmakers in the House will debate, then vote on articles of impeachment against a sitting president. The debate will last for several hours, sounding familiar themes from Democrats that Mr. Trump violated his oath of office by holding up foreign aid for Ukraine in exchange for personal political gain. Republicans will continue their assertion that the president did nothing wrong and the Democrats have rushed to impeachment. The expected vote will set up a January trial in the Senate.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting. This morning, House Republicans tried to delay the impeachment debate.
Madam Speaker, so we can stop wasting America's time on impeachment, I move that the House do now adjourn.
Question is on the motion to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
And last night, President Trump fired off a letter to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi comparing today's proceedings to the Salem witch trials. The president says, in the end, he will be vindicated.
They know it's a hoax, it's a witch hunt, and it's just a continuation. It's been going on now for almost 3 years, and it probably started before I even won the election, based on what we're finding out.
Mr. Trump says he is not watching any of today's debate in the House or the upcoming vote. The president heads to Battle Creek, Michigan tonight for a political pep rally. Last night in cities all across the country.
I don't think he respects the rule of law. I don't think he understands how he is supposed to govern us.
Pro-impeachment rallies taking place from sea to shining sea in Texas, though, a pro-Trump get-together.
This president is sometimes not smooth and not polite, but to impeach a president for managing the foreign policy of this country is incredibly disturbing to me.
A new CNN poll shows support for impeachment has dropped 5 points since last month, with more Americans now in opposition to it. More wicked winter weather, that is the other big story this Wednesday. Lake effect snow warnings up for parts of ski country today in western New York. Places like Jamestown and Perrysburg expected to pick up 14 inches of snow by tomorrow morning. Further south, more tornadoes.
Really the first time I can remember since Katrina us having anything of this magnitude. Cleaning debris, getting trees off of houses.
That is the scene in Laurel, Mississippi today, one day after 24 tornadoes tore through three states, killing 4 people. What was a Russian spy ship doing off the east coast of the U.S.? Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
Ship was sailing off South Carolina, then Georgia, and to Jacksonville, Florida, sometimes erratically. The Coast Guard said it received reports indicating the Victor Leonov in some cases had no running lights, and it warned other vessels to maintain a sharp lookout. The ship was last seen east of the Bahamas and appeared to be headed home.
That's Cammy McCormick reporting from the Pentagon today. A fifth former Google employee has filed a federal complaint saying she was fired for trying to tell her colleagues about their workplace rights. Tech analyst Ian Scher.
Google is increasingly running up against people protesting within its ranks. A number of people who have organized protests or attempted to even do union organizing have found themselves either demoted or possibly even fired.
4 other former employees took similar action last month. Google is disputing the claims. New research today shows a spike in the number of grain bin deaths across the country. A study conducted by Purdue University found at least 14 people have been killed in grain bin accidents since August. While we're freezing our pants off today, yesterday, the hottest day on record in Australia.
It's pretty hot, but I just have to get used to it.
Probably just stay in the air conditioner, really, and keep cool.
The average temperature in the land down under hit 105 degrees on Tuesday. That broke the old mark of 104 degrees set 7 years ago. Still to come this Wednesday, Lake Flakes in ski country, teacher cuts in Rochester, and eSports in Harrisburg.
Good afternoon. With the passage of an Arctic cold front, the winds will be whipping, the temperatures tumbling, and for some, those lake flakes will be flying. I'll be back with forecast details. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Wednesday, December 18th. Wicked weather in ski country today. Lake effect snow warnings up through tomorrow morning. Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties.
We're expecting 8 to 14 inches of snow.
That's a lot of snow. Steve Welch at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says parts of the southern tier in western New York going to get buried today.
Jamestown, Perrysburg, Dunkirk, Fredonia areas. Those areas are going to be experiencing the most snowfall.
Erie, Pennsylvania also getting pounded today and a nose-numbing cold to go along with all of that snow, too. Welch says wind chills going to dip into the single digits today and tomorrow before we moderate some for the upcoming weekend. Little bit of shaking going on early this morning in western New York. An earthquake happened just northeast of Rochester around 2:40 this morning. That 2.1 magnitude quake was centered 8 miles northeast of Sotus Point. Hundreds of rallies across the country taking place last night in support of impeaching President Trump.
The people of the United
hundreds gathering last night on the steps of the state capitol in Harrisburg to call for the president's removal from office.
If Trump was not president, he would have been indicted for the things that he had done.
Everyone is watching us. The world is watching us.
This woman, though, showed up at a pro-impeachment rally last night to lend her support to Donald Trump.
This whole entire impeachment process has been a mockery of our justice system. It's been one-sided. Everything is hearsay and people's opinion.
A lot of workplaces today allowing their employees to watch the historic proceedings in the U.S. House of Representatives. Local Congressman and Democrat Anthony Brindisi.
I think everyone should agonize over the impeachment vote. Whether you are Democrat or Republican, we're all Americans first, and this is a very serious matter. I think everyone should not be quick to rush to judgment. Everyone should look at the evidence and make a decision based on their duty as an American.
Brindisi says after grappling with the issue for several weeks, he's decided to vote for impeaching the President of the United States. The Rochester, New York School Board will vote tomorrow on a proposal to cut 150 teaching positions in the Flower City. Superintendent Terry Dade says he's open to an emergency meeting with the teachers' union to find some middle ground.
If it were up to me, I would be having emergency meetings and the like if it meant saving teacher positions.
Dade says the teacher cuts will save the cash-strapped district $7 million. If passed tomorrow, those cuts would take effect the first of the year in Rochester, New York. Governor Cuomo proposing a statewide ban on single-use styrofoam food containers. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
The governor will announce the proposal during his upcoming State of the State address. The proposal would also ban styrofoam packing peanuts, and lawmakers say it would be the strongest ban of its kind at the statewide level in the country. The proposal would not impact packaging for raw or prepackaged food. The state DEC would also be given authority to potentially ban other packaging materials after reviewing an environmental impact statement. If passed, the ban would take effect by January 1st, 2022. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf announcing details of the state's first ever juvenile justice task force.
With this task force, we can thoroughly review our juvenile justice system and find ways to make lasting change that ensures every young Pennsylvanian is getting the support needed to grow into a successful adult.
Wolf says the task force will be tasked with finding ways to improve outcomes for youth across the Commonwealth. New York Republicans are concerned about criminal justice reforms. Those reforms take effect the first of the year. Will they leave residents unsafe? Pretty good question. Assemblyman Will Barclay.
I don't think anyone in Albany is saying we shouldn't have maybe some reform to the system. But just like a lot of things we do down here, we go to extremes. And this way, we're ultimately going to be letting some dangerous people out on the street.
Barclay says the reforms take away the power of judges to keep in custody dangerous criminals. He says under the new law, 400 crimes will require mandatory release. Seven men from Western New York have been arrested following an undercover joint investigation by federal, state, and local law enforcement officials. The Erie County District Attorney's Office says the suspects tried to contact several minors through social media. Crime down in Pennsylvania.
The information is included in a report just released by Department of Corrections Secretary John Wetzel. From 2012 through 2018, crime and prison population dropped in tandem. Wetzel says crime dropped for a variety of specific crime types, including violent crime and property crime. Murder and rape are two exceptions with increases in recent years in the state, although both in large part mirror national trends. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Police in the Pennsylvania state capitol cracking down on those porch pirates. There's burglars who steal Christmas packages delivered to your house. As part of Operation Porch Pirate, cops will be monitoring fake deliveries to the homes of volunteers with the hopes of catching thieves in the act.
As long as we can determine that they were there to steal that package, then we will go through the proper channels of arresting them, place them under arrest, and getting them arraigned.
Harrisburg Police Corporal Josh Hammer says the law enforcement effort will continue right on through the holidays. New York State leads the country in fire deaths this year. That, according to a new report, officials say 112 people have died in fire-related incidents all across the Empire State in 2019. Johnson City Fire Department Captain Bob Blakesley.
I think a lot of it with the fire deaths is the lack of smoke detectors. A lot of them, I think, come from larger cities where you've got a lot of people packed into dilapidated buildings.
Endicott Fire Chief Joseph Griswold says improperly maintained furnaces are another major cause of fires.
One of the biggest problems is lack of maintenance. Not changing the filters. They're very dirty. You don't get good air exchange. Plus, you have a lot of dust, dirt, and debris inside the furnace because that's where the filter is.
Officials say half of all heating fires in New York State take place from December through February. A lawsuit has been filed over toll hikes on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, if you're tired of paying higher turnpike tolls, you're not alone. Now some drivers are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in. Two national driving associations have petitioned the high court to hear their lawsuit. They call the tolls excessive and a violation of the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. This year, the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission approved a 6% toll increase. It's the 12th straight year of price hikes, and it's scheduled to happen every year until the year 2044. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bobby. Going to college for video games. It's happening at Harrisburg University, the Pennsylvania school introducing electronic sports as a major.
What we can do is train people in production that understand how esports is actually produced.
Charles Palmer is helping to put together the program that teaches students about sports competition through the use of video games. First-year student Lindsay Wagaman.
I had kind of had a passion for it, so I decided, all right, let's see if I can turn this into a career.
Harrisburg University now joins just a handful of other colleges across the country to offer electronic sports as a major. Let's talk real sports. Sunny time, your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start in Toronto. The Maple Leafs and the Sabres and Jack Eichel.
Now it's Eichel with a shot. He scores!
That score extending his NHL season-high point streak to 17 games. That's the good, the bad. Sabres fall to the Maple Leafs 5-3. In Calgary, the Penguins scored four unanswered, including Evgeny Malkin's 400th career goal, beating the Flames 4-1. Here's Genny.
I don't care. We win 2 points in Portland, you know, a little bit tough for sure, but again, we win and a little bit sweat again, I hope tomorrow will feel so much better and small step tonight.
In Philadelphia, Carter Hart logged 40 saves. Flyers topped the Ducks 4-1.
Kind of a must-win game. We needed to get things turned around, and I mean, we did that tonight. Came out and just capitalized on our chances. They didn't really get many second opportunities. We did a good job of clearing the net front on any loose pucks, and I got some big balls.
Long Island, the Predators spotted the Islanders a 3-1 lead before scoring 7 unanswered in an 8-3 win against the Islanders. To the NBA, Spencer Dinwiddie scored the first 4 in overtime. Nets never looked back, beating the Pelicans 108-101.
Oh man, great job. Obviously they play with a lot of pace, so you don't get to rest on that end, you know, and then guarding Drew, he's a phenomenal player. And then, you know, in terms of probably guards that pick you up 94 or close to it, he's probably the best in the league at that.
At Madison Square Garden, R.J. Barrett scored 27. The Knicks beat the Hawks 143-120. Wow! The Knicks have now won 3 of 4 to improve to 7-21 on the year. And in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens lead with 12 Pro Bowl selections. That ties the league record by the 1973 Dolphins. By the way, this year's Dolphins and the Giants have no players in the Pro Bowl. Both Pennsylvania teams, the Eagles and Steelers, have 5 picks. Jets have 1, Cleveland has 2, and Tre'Davious White, the only Bill selected. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, History on the Hill going on right now. Grief around the holidays and chewing gum 5,700 years later.
A photographer has just revealed our culture's most common social pathology. If we're honest, it's like looking in a mirror. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. 5 years ago, photographer Eric Pickersgill and his wife Angie were lying in bed, backs turned to one another, looking at their phones. Pickersgill dozed off, and his phone slid from his hand and hit the floor. The sound jolted him awake. As he told the BBC, he saw the scene from the perspective of the ceiling fan in his mind's eye. There he was, hand frozen in the same position, only without his phone. He and his wife were so close physically, but psychologically and emotionally so separated from one another, he said. This inspired a project that depicts how technology dominates our lives, often to the detriment of our most important relationships. The remarkable series of photographs is called Removed. The pictures run between startling and comical. In one, a newly married couple sits on the hood of a car marked Just Married, staring at non-existing phones instead of each other. In another, a crowd at auction sit gazing into their empty hands as if they were at a palm reader's convention. As Pickersgill told the BBC, he didn't know the people in the pictures beforehand. He saw people who were looking at their phones, explained the project, and then asked them if they would be willing to pose. Perhaps the reason they agreed is that they saw themselves in the point he was trying to make. Of course, if any of us were photographed throughout our day, chances are we'd be caught in similar poses. Who among us is at some level not hitched to our glowing rectangles? As the display's curator put it, Removed lifts the veil of contemporary technology's hold on our devotion. It also reveals how much this devotion isolates us from other people. In her 2011 book, Alone Together, MIT psychologist Sherry Turkle wrote about how the technology we think gives us more control actually controls us. Our phones are, as Pickersgill graphically illustrated, the last things we look at every night, the first things we check every morning. And Alone Together, Turkle describes teenagers who are actually afraid of phone calls because they require a level of intimacy and spontaneity that are out of their control. In the 8 years since Turkle's book was published, our together aloneness is only more entrenched, and the psychological impact Turkle describes only more pronounced and more tragic. According to a recent study by the American Psychological Association, rates of mood disorders and suicide-related outcomes among adolescents and young adults have increased significantly over the last decade. And the researchers directly state that the increase in adolescent major depressive episodes began after 2011, concurrent with the increased ownership of smartphones and increase in digital media time. Our devotion to our glowing rectangles is just not giving us the control we thought it would. On the contrary, it's been a key ingredient in the spread of what former Surgeon General Vivek Murthy called an epidemic of loneliness, which is, according to Murthy, as bad for our health as smoking. Perhaps this is why people were so willing to pose for Pickersgill. Like smokers who know they should quit for their own good, maybe we understand that we really would be better off without a phone in our hands all the time. Maybe we should give it a try, even if no one's taking our picture. And on another note, we're nearing the end of the year. If you value the daily dose of sanity that you get every single day from Breakpoint, would you please make a year-end gift at breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. This just into the newsroom. Interstate 390 south of Dansville closed in both directions because of an accident due to the weather. Again, Interstate 390 south of Dansville closed in both directions because of an accident. Let's head outside. Stormy weather there. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're tracking an Arctic cold front crossing the area this day, and in its wake, some bitter air will move in, and this will be generating some impressive lake snows in some of the snowbelt areas east and southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Here's the call for this afternoon: blustery with changeable skies, sunshine, flurries, lake squalls, and blowing snow. Look for local whiteouts in the snowbelt areas with several additional inches of snow accumulating there, a coating to an inch or so elsewhere. Temperatures steady or falling from where they are right now. Then tonight we drop into the single digits to near 10, partly cloudy with localized lake snow east and southeast of Lake Erie in Ontario. Tomorrow, variable clouds with lake flurries and a high in the teens and low 20s. Some sunshine in the 20s to near 30 in spots on Friday.
Okay, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, December 18th. History on display in the U.S. House today.
The House shall proceed to the consideration in the House of the resolution, House Resolution 755, impeaching Donald John Trump, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors.
Debate underway right now with a vote later today when Donald Trump is expected to become just the third president in U.S. history to be impeached.
The president withheld congressionally approved military aid to Ukraine, a country under siege, not to fight corruption, but to extract a personal political favor.
Massachusetts Democrat Jim McGovern, North Carolina Republican Mark Meadows.
They've tried to change the rules. They've tried to make sure we didn't have minority witnesses. They tried to make sure that each and every time that we objected to something, they would shut us down.
Not one single Republican in the U.S. House expected to vote for the two articles of impeachment against the president.
I'm concerned that impeachment will become a political weapon that will be used to hunt presidents to come, whether Republican or Democrat.
Family Life News political analyst Dr. Steve Coleman.
The whole process has been irregular, and it's a horrible precedent for American society. And at the end of the day, it could very well lead to Donald Trump's reelection.
Coleman says media coverage of this issue has turned a lot of us off to the whole process.
There's been wall-to-wall coverage of these impeachment hearings. And I think people have impeachment fatigue. They had their minds made up. There's a big collective yawn in America.
A new CNN poll shows support for impeachment has dropped 5 points since last month, with more Americans now in opposition to it. Whiteout conditions this afternoon across parts of western New York, northwestern PA. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The wild winter weather continues. Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties are under a lake effect snow warning through tomorrow morning. The National Weather Service in Buffalo says places like Jamestown and Dunkirk could see up to 14 inches of snow. Erie, Pennsylvania, also expected to get hammered. Snow squalls could sweep across western New York and parts of the southern tier. Central New York and the Finger Lakes expecting up to 4 inches of snow, while parts of the Rochester region could get 6 inches of fresh powder. After that, toe-tingling cold. Wind chills will dip into the single digits today and tomorrow before we moderate some for the upcoming weekend. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. In the Deep South, 24 twisters have now been confirmed.
confirmed following 2 days of deadly tornadoes. This guy helping with the cleanup effort in Laurel, Mississippi.
Piggly Wiggly got hit. It jumped over my building, just back behind it. It's amazing.
Georgia, Alabama, and Louisiana slammed with severe weather yesterday. At least 4 people have been killed. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo proposing legislation that makes it clear a drunk person can be sexually assaulted. The Democrat says the measure would close a loophole in current state law by making it clear that a victim's ability to consent is jeopardized, whether they're intoxicated by choice or otherwise. New York's Finger Lakes region getting $32 million from the state. It's aimed at improving water quality and public health. Once again at noon, Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Yeah, the grants were awarded through the Water Infrastructure Improvement Act and the Intermunicipal Water Infrastructure Grant Program. The money will go towards projects in the city of Rochester and others in Orleans, Ontario, Livingston, Monroe, Genesee, and Wayne counties. Nearly $416 million has been awarded to water infrastructure projects around the state. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. Interesting study out of the UK today. More Brits are having digital conversations and are speaking face-to-face. This is a first in human history. According to researchers, face-to-face encounters have decreased 15% in Britain the past 5 years. The country recently appointed a cabinet-level position to deal with the UK's epidemic of loneliness. The good news? Not as many teens are drinking, smoking cigarettes, or using hard drugs these days. The bad news? They're taking up vaping pot.
1 in 5. It's how many American high schoolers say they vaped marijuana in the past year. The University of Michigan survey shows about 1 in 7 high school seniors this year are considered current users of marijuana vaping. That's almost doubled from 1 in 13 the year before.
That's Matt Piper reporting 25 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, Inside Out with Martha Monicus Foster. Today's topic, dealing with grief around the holidays. Let's listen in.
It's the week before Christmas, and for some, maybe you, it's not a happy time of year.
We'll greet each other and say Merry Christmas, but for many, it's a very difficult time because it's a reminder of what they've lost.
Pastor and counselor Jay LaScolia is the director of Enrich Counseling, headquartered in Big Flats, New York.
I'll hear from people, whether it be in counseling sessions or just people that I talk to, that they dread as the calendar gets closer and closer to Thanksgiving and Christmas and even New Year's, mm-hmm. because they're reminded of who's not there, the empty chair.
Mm. And the traditions we love to celebrate this time of year can actually work against people when they're grieving.
I think there's grief not only in missing the person, but grief in missing out on the tradition or what was done, you know, year after year after year.
The holidays can be difficult because of other kinds of loss, too. Maybe you've moved away from people you used to celebrate with, or maybe they moved away from you. There are lots of reasons November and December can be hard.
Grief is not only, you know, the death of a loved one. This time of year can be difficult for people who have lost their jobs.
For all of these reasons, LaScolia encourages us, if we hurt this time of year, to be honest with God.
The hope is through Jesus, and he came and gave himself, Emmanuel, God with us, on that very first Christmas, that very first gift. So turn to God.
And turn to people close to you.
We need to be real and honest with the way we're feeling and share with people close to us and loved ones and say, hey, I'm struggling.
Go out for a cup of coffee. Find ways to be around people who care about you.
Don't isolate yourself. There's healing in community. There's healing in the love of others. There will be people, hopefully, that will invite you to take part in their traditions.
And tell them that the season's hard for you, even if it's been some time since your loss.
I think the second year is often harder than the first year.
Grief and sorrow are gut-level and powerful emotions.
And I think even get in with a counselor or your pastor. I know it's a busy time of year. It's the week before Christmas. But you may want to do that or definitely get on their calendar for after Christmas.
Uh-huh. And if we're doing okay, but it's someone we love who's having difficulty, LaScolia counsels us to avoid showing sympathy, which is more like pity, and instead honor them with empathy.
That's walking side by side with them. That's saying, let me help lift you up. Let me help bear your burden, right? Mm-hmm. We're to bear each other's burdens.
Sure. Grief, we're told, passes through stages. It's likely that grieving people will still be in the first stage, shock and denial, through the first Christmas after their loss, and maybe the second year and beyond.
There is no time frame to grief. Again, there is no time frame. And you can't tell an individual, well, it's been a year already. You need to get over it.
So we show empathy by walking along with friends as they grieve. We might cook meals, shovel the driveway, or help clean or decorate and wrap. But the main thing is that we show up.
We don't like to feel uncomfortable because, well, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? Just be there. Ask them, how you doing? What can I do for you?
And if your friend's loss is a person, ask to hear stories, even if you've heard them before.
Let them talk. Let them share their memories of their loved ones. Most people want others to remember their loved one. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of their greatest fears, that their loved one's going to be forgotten.
God shows us throughout Scripture that He blesses those who mourn. He provides refuge and strength and offers help. So a treasure we can provide those who hurt this time of year is the encouragement that hope is found in the gift given at Christmas, Jesus Christ.
So helping people, directing them back to God, that they have this loving and good Father who cries with them, who mourns with them, but who also comforts them and gives them strength. That's huge. And of course, praying for them, because we all know the power of prayer.
Pastor and counselor Jay LaScoglia gives more practical explanations and ideas in our full 15-minute conversation. You'll find it at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with this Family Life Inside Out Report.
Good stuff. Thank you, Martha. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. We're tracking an Arctic cold front crossing the area this day, and in its wake, some bitter air will move in, and this will be generating some impressive lake snows in some of the snowbelt areas east and southeast of Lake Syrie in Ontario. Here's the call for this afternoon, blustery with changeable skies, sunshine, flurries, lake squalls, and blowing snow. Look for local whiteouts in the snowbelt areas with several additional inches of snow accumulating there, a coating to an inch or so elsewhere. Temperatures steady falling from where they are right now. Then tonight we drop into the single digits to near 10, partly cloudy with localized lake snow east and southeast of Lake Syrie in Ontario. Tomorrow, variable clouds with lake flurries and a high in the teens and low 20s. Some sunshine in the 20s to near 30 in spots on Friday.
Okay, Kevin Williams, be safe out there, folks. Finally at noon, you'll never know what you'll find from an old piece of chewing gum. Correspondent Vicki Barker explains.
5,700 years ago, a young woman living on an island off what's now Denmark chewed on some tar from a birch tree and spat it out. And now scientists have been able to reconstruct her entire genome, the first time that's been done from anything other than human bone. Because of this, we know she likely had dark skin, brown hair, and blue eyes. Other DNA traces suggest she'd recently eaten duck and hazelnuts and may have had gum disease.
All that from a piece of gum. Thank you, Vicki. Vicki Barker reporting. That is the world we live in. For a Wednesday, as always, thanks for coming along. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.